Good morning. How are we? Everyone well out there? It's good. It's great to be gathered. For those I haven't met before, my name's Ryan. I'm part of the team here, part of the tribe, and I'm excited this morning to be opening up the Word of God and having a look at what He might say to us in our context today. And we're going to be looking in a moment out of some scripture that involved the story of Moses. Anyone heard of Moses before? Couple of hands, yep. I would hope maybe you might have. If you've seen that movie, The Prince of Egypt, that might, yeah, it's great. It is a great movie. So that might help you if you're trying to orientate yourself this morning. But I wanted to pose a question to us this morning. Has anyone ever done this before, or is it just me? Have you ever walked into a room before? Walked in, maybe with a bit of pace, walked in, stopped yourself and gone, what am I doing here? Maybe you've driven somewhere, maybe you've driven to work and you've just arrived and gone, I don't even remember how I really got here. Maybe that's your story this morning. Maybe you're like, I'm going to head out somewhere and I'm at church. how did I find myself here? The classic one for me would be this. I will come home and my wife will be able to testify to this. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is, what time of the night it is, I will come home and the first thing I'll do is open the fridge. Like, without fail. And I'll start perusing the fridge and I'll have to ask myself sometimes, why are you here? What is the purpose of opening the fridge? Friday night, it was about 10:30. I'm like, I don't need any food at 10:30 p.m. What is the purpose of me being in this fridge? It's become a habit. And close it, walk away. I don't know, it happens, maybe it's just my brain, but this sort of scenario happens to me on a regular basis. And it's probably built into my life a little bit that I'll arrive somewhere without paying any attention. I will find myself looking for a snack that I don't want or need. And often find myself in a room going, like, why did I come in here? Might pick up my phone and be like, what am I doing with this thing? Like, was there a reason for that? And if we're not careful as people in life, this is the way our life can flow. You know, we heard a great message last week for those of you here from Larry about God's design purpose for our life, that He has a custom built purpose for our lives. And if we don't tap into that kind of space, if we don't live as people of purpose, those little scenarios that I joke about that are very real become the reality of life. That we can go through the day to day and go, what did I, like, you know, and this one doesn't happen to me, Dean, but sometimes you might even get to the end of your work week and go, did I even do anything this week? Now, that never happens to me. I always finish my week before my day's off and go, geez, that was full of purpose. I got so much done. You wouldn't believe it. Like, I don't even have time to tell you about how much purposeful work I got done. But the reality is you can get to the end of a day sometimes, get to the end of the week and just go, what happened? Like, how did I arrive here? And that can be the story of life if we don't choose to live with the purpose that God has for each one of us. And so this morning I wanted to tap into a little bit of the story of Moses, if that's all right. What God kind of says and does with Moses in one particular moment of time. Moses at this point is a shepherd, and so he's out tending sheep, and there's this great moment in Exodus 3 where he sees, and you might have heard this story if you've read, you know, Exodus before or been around church a little while. There's a burning bush that gets his attention. There's a bush on fire, and he goes to it because he sees it, and he actually says to himself, like, see, this bush is on fire, but it's not burning up. I'm going to go have a look. And so that provokes his curiosity. He goes up there, and he has this encounter with God. And God speaks to him about the nature of his people, God's people. They're in slavery. And in Exodus 3, 7 to 10, this is the words of the Lord. I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down here to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them out of that land into a good, spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and I can't even say this, the Jebusites. Don't even know. I got a yes from someone. That's good. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. God says to Moses in this moment, you are going to go. Here's your purpose. No longer are you going to tend these sheep out in the wilderness where he was, just doing his job. You're going to go. Go to Pharaoh, go to the big dog, go to the king, and you're going to go to him and you're going to take my people out of slavery. What a calling. What a purpose. Like, these people are oppressed. He's seen that his people are oppressed. They're in slavery. They've been there for years. They're crying out. They don't want to be in this space anymore. And God says, Moses, you're the man. Like, you're going to go. This is my purpose for your life. Go and lead these people out of slavery. And you might be sitting in your chair today and go, hey, Ryan, we don't have too much problem in Perth, Western Australia with being in slavery. And I would say, in some degree, you are right. When we're here, we're free to kind of do what we want to do. We're free to be here. We're free to make whatever choices we want about our life and to do that. But the reality is we live in a place that is very much enslaved. I believe by the God of comfort, the God of lack of purpose, the I'm just going through the motions of life, that I'm just going to keep maybe making as much money as I can make because that's what I need to do, or I need to upgrade my house or my car, or none of these things are bad. But how many people do you meet that are just going through the motions of life and they don't have any purpose? And you look at Moses and he's given this great call of, you need to go and lead my people out of the slavery they're in and into the freedom and life that I have for them. And I believe the purpose and call that was there for Moses in this story fits our context today in the same way. Not that we need to go to the prime minister or go to Pharaoh and go, hey, these people that you're enslaved, like, come on, they're coming with me. But we're actually called to lead people out of a purposeless life and into a life of purpose that God has planned for them. And our call as followers of God is to go and do that, to be light, to show people that there's more to life than making money. There's more to life than just having the next best car. There's more to life than that promotion that you've got. There's more to life than having a house by the beach. All of those great things, and we'd love all of those. We'd love a new car. We'd love a house by the beach. We'd love a promotion. No, I'm kidding. Joking. But the reality is, like, those things are all good. They're all great things. But they are not the purpose for our lives. They're part of our lives. But how the enemy in this time had these people enslaved in the place they lived and worked them and punished them. And I believe comfort is doing the same thing to the world that we live in today. That you can just rock and roll through life without even realizing that you're here, that your time on earth can go, that your days can just fly by and go, what did I even do to get here? And so, coming out of this, you know, we use this saying as a church a little bit, it's about awakening wanderers. That, you know, people are wandering through life, coasting through, almost asleep. And our purpose as God's people is to wake them up. Not to judge and not to like yell at them and, you know, it's not that vibe, but to wake them up to what God has for them. That there is more to your life than what you can do on your own. And that when you partner with what God has for your life, you'll find your true intentional purpose. And so Moses kind of then begins this little bit of doubt in Moses' mind, like, who, me? Why would you choose me? And he begins to have a little bit of back and forth with God, which is bold by Moses, really. I think if God kind of appeared to you like that, you'd be like, yes, sir, you know? Like, but Moses is a little bit more bold now. He's like, me? Nah. And so Moses answers in Exodus 4, he's having this back and forth with God, and he says this, he says, Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? And say, the Lord did not appear to you. Then the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake. And he ran from it. Fair enough. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out, took hold of the snake and turned it back into the staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. I love this exchange that Moses has with God, and this is kind of where we're going to park in this moment. You know, God does this a couple of times with Moses in this conversation. It's like kind of three miracles that he shows him, but I just want to take a moment to focus on this one. I love that Moses asks the question, like, what if this goes bad? Like, what if they don't believe me? What if I go and no one listens? What if they reject me? I love that God answers his question with a question. Does that frustrate anyone else in life when you ask a question and someone answers it with a question? Like, almost like work it out for yourself, you know? Yeah, it's like, what have you got? What have you got in your hand? Moses, being a shepherd, had what in his hand? He had a staff, a stick, used to wrangle sheep. Like, back over here you go. It was the tool in his hand in the day. You're a shepherd, you got a stick. Like, it's almost just guaranteed. If you're a tradie, you've probably got a drill. If you're a shepherd, you've got a stick. That's his. You know, I go to work every day, and if I don't bring my laptop, I'm generally in some kind of trouble. It's the tool that's in my hand most of the time to do most of the work I need. He's got a stick, a plain old stick that he uses to wrangle sheep. And you know what God says to him? Throw it on the ground. And the first thing I want to kind of present to us this morning, that we all have something in our hand that God has given us. We all have gifts, talents, abilities. We're not defined by our job necessarily, but your job might be directly related to the gifts and talents and purposes that you have. But all of us have abilities and talents that are given to us by God that we possess naturally. Some of us might not think our stick is so fancy. And certainly Moses' stick was just a staff. But God tells him to lay it down. And the first thing I kind of want to present to us today is that in order to live this purposeful life that's to go out and help people find their purpose, you've got to lay down your gift. You've got to realize that it's actually not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about how good we could be. It's not about how eloquent. You know, Moses talks about, I'm not a great speaker later on. He doesn't feel like he has the tools. And God says, what do you have? Put it on the ground. Lay it down. And he does. He puts it down, he puts it on the ground, and what happens to it? It turns into a snake. Now, why a snake? I don't know. If God kind of turned my phone into a snake, I would run too. So I'm with Moses there. I'm not hanging around to see what that, I'm out of there. But God tells him to do what with the snake? Tells him to pick it back up. There's this thing that happens, I believe, when we lay down our own self and our own agendas and our own things and say, you know what, God, I'll be obedient here. I'm going to lay it down to you. I'll give it to you. I'm going to give this to you. And he empowers it. And he turns it into a snake. And he tells Moses to what? To pick it up. Now, I'm not one. I don't mind watching those videos on social media where snake catchers go after snakes. Like, power to them. They're the people I'm calling. If I find a snake in my backyard, I'm certainly not picking it up. But it takes a little bit of courage in that moment for him to go back. It says that he went to run away. And God says, pick it back up. Now, it hadn't turned back into a stick in that moment. It's still a snake. And so it takes courage to pick it back up. But I believe that next step for us is once we can lay down our things before God, there's a calling for us to have the courage to pick it back up with the intention to use it the way God intended. See, he had a stick in his hand that was used to wrangle a sheep. But he lays it down before God and it becomes a miracle. You know, I love this saying is that the purpose was not to scare him or anyone else. This is Moses. The purpose was to help introduce Yahweh as the God to the people who didn't know him yet, who desperately needed salvation. Yahweh's control of something as frightening as a snake, including his ability to make it materialize from a piece of wood, was evidence of his powerful reality. You know, when we lay something down before God and we ask him to do that, it becomes powerful reality. And so he picks it back up, and then God calls him to go and to use it. Lay it down, pick it back up with the power of God upon your gift and go and use it. Take it out into your world now. Go and use it. There are so many miracles in the life of Moses that happen, what, when he has that stick in his hand. As you read through his story, you'll see from time after time, he lifted it up and, you know, water passed and he hits a rock and it turns into this. It became the very tool that he used in his hand to show the power and reality of God to those that needed to see it. And if we want to live a purposeful life that God has for us, to go out and awaken wanderers, to bring the power of the reality of God into our world, we need to lay it down, we need to pick it back up with some courage, and we need to go out and we need to use it. And in the moments that we kind of have left, I wanted to show a couple of ways as God's people, I believe this can play out. What context does this play out in? Because is it everywhere we go that we're called to do that? I believe yes, but I believe it's a little bit more specific than that sometimes. The first one is this, that we come together and we're the church gathered. But we gather together on Sundays. We do it, you know, maybe other times as well, but there is a time in the week where God's people gather. It's an extremely great opportunity to use the gift that God has put in our hand to serve each other, but also to serve those coming in. You know, it's great. We'll talk about being scattered in a moment. I'll give away the end. We're going to talk about being scattered in a moment. It's great you can be scattered. But you know what? The hope of the church comes when we get together. We get to show the best of who we are and what we are and what we're about and who God is when we gather together. And this morning I walk in and you can see there's people. What have they got in their hand? They've got a chair in their hand. And they're putting it out for you to sit in today. You go over and there's people with gifts to work with children who are teaching our children about the heroes of the faith this morning. How are the heroes of the faith? And letting them hang out with one another. They're using what they had put in their hand. You know, Friday night, I can't help but slip this in. We got to start our Yanchep markets up again. And we've got people with gifts of like booking stall holders and they're using those. And our team go up and they put out furniture and put up lights and transform a park into this amazing community place. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people came out of their house and came down and had community together. There's musicians on stage with instruments and microphones in their hands. They're using the gift that God has given them to show the best of who God is. We want to do that together. I was reading even this morning, there's an article about when people are on teams, in teams or in community, it solves so much of the problems that we see as a society. Mental health problems, loneliness problems, connection problems. So when you come in here, you may feel like you haven't connected with anyone yet. I'd ask you this, why has God put in your hand? How could you serve the body? This is not about getting volunteers. This is about us using what God has put in our hands to serve one another. Who felt blessed by the worship this morning? Like I did straight away. That prayer, man. People get here early with what God's put in their hand. They lay it down and then they use it. And God takes it. And something powerful happens. And then there's the church scattered. And in that, I just want to encourage you to gather. If you're not on a team, let me encourage you just to pursue that. To ask that question. Look, God, what have you put in my hand? What could I bring? Be as simple as putting out a chair. Packing up a chair, vacuuming, putting out some coffee. Maybe it's helping in kids. I don't know what it is that God's put in your hand. But it's not there just to be a hobby. It's there to serve the body, serve one another, and show the best of who God is to the world and bring renewal to people as they come in here. That's the goal of the church. The church scattered. We go. We spend one portion of our morning on a Sunday together. And then we all go out into our week. And God has placed your feet somewhere. For Moses, obviously that was Egypt. He was going to lead his people out. He's going to go to Pharaoh. That's his context. That's where he is. You know, Christ calls us in the Great Commission later on in the Bible to go and make disciples of all nations. To go everywhere and make disciples. Tell people about God. Wake them up to the things that God has for them. My question is, when you go out into your week, does it sound a little bit more like the start of this message talking about your day? Do you just get to the end of the, and just, I just got to survive the work day. Just want to get through, get home. Just want to get to the weekend. All that other stuff's for someone else. But I guarantee you, God has given you gifts in your hand to go where your feet are put. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's opportunities for you to use what God has put in your hand to awake people to what he has for them. You know, my life has been a lot about the church gathered. Been part of this church since I was 15 years old. Did youth ministry, you know, almost straight away. Spent a lot of time in Sunday services, in youth ministry, and I love it, and I still do. Clearly, that's why I'm still here. But, you know, one of the things last year that used to, like, push on my buttons a little bit is invite some people to Alpha. Like, I'm up here saying that. You should invite your friends to Alpha. And then I'm like, what friends do I have to invite to Alpha? Like, I'm asking myself this question. Like, write down your five. And honestly, I was battling for a little while. I'd just write down people I knew. Maybe I'll bump into a dad on the way to school or another family and have that. But there was no real deep connection in my eyes with the outside world. But there was in here. And so I, you know, firmly, you know, love what I do here and love being a part of that. But there was a part of me that was asking the question of, Lord, my world outside of the four walls of the church feels very, very small. And my world inside the four walls of the church feels very, very large. And Lord, I'd like some more enlarging of my world outside of the church. I don't know how to do that. I don't know what it looks like. But I just asked the question. And then I parked it. I was like, God, just allow me to invite some friends to Alpha. Or allow me just to be a light somewhere. And this might come as a surprise to you guys. Anyone who knows me, this will be surprising for you. But I actually love sport. Does anyone know that? Particularly, I love, if you haven't met me before, I love football. I love all sport. But I'll watch like anything on ESPN. You know how they have those junk sports on ESPN? Like, I'll watch those. Like, I just love sport. But I love football, and I always have. And it's always been this thing that's kind of been in a separate pocket for me. To like church and sport, they don't really go together. If I talk about it too much, someone will come and tell me. But I could talk about sport all day. And I was having a conversation with a friend, and he's like, hey, I'm doing this new thing in sport. I'm doing this chaplaincy program in sport. And I know that you have these family ties and a lot to do with a particular football club, the Claremont Football Club. It's been a part of my life as a kid for a long time. And kind of had stopped kind of going down there and parking that. He goes, I think you should be the chaplain in the Claremont Football Club. And I was like, don't they have one? And he was like, ironically, they're one of the only ones that don't. How about you pray about it? And I was like, all right, I'll do that. At the same time, God's kind of like just stirring me about having more relationships out in the world. And I'm like, yeah, cool. I had some conversations, kind of prayed about it. I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And he's like, cool. Now I got to work out how to get you in there. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I just wanted to make sure you were keen first. Now we'll figure out a way to get you in there. I was like, that's not how I thought this was going to go. And so we go on this process for a period of time, kind of talking to them about, you know, what to do there and how it would work. And they're like, yeah, we would love some, like, free labor. This is great. It's like, we'll take anyone. And so I have these conversations about, you know, what I like to do. I just want to be present. I want to be around. I want to be, you know, I want to help. I want to serve. And they're like, why wouldn't we want that? And so we got to start that journey. And so I get to walk in to like 100 guys that I've never met before. And the challenge with this is they all have names. So you got to learn their names. And I'm not great at that in the first place. But then they have two names. So they have their name and then they have a nickname. So they're like, you know, you meet John and then he's Smithy. And you're like, what? I don't know. Is it John or is it? And so I'm in there and I have this like incredible opportunity to use something that I love and am interested in that I've always kind of gone, God's not really in that space for me. It's just a hobby that I have. I enjoy sport. To being able to go and be salt and light in a place that doesn't have it. See, we talked before about how joining teams and having community is so good for people. In that kind of a space, that's what they have. In some ways, some of these guys have better connections than Christians do in church, in what they're gathered around. But you know what they don't have? There's no Jesus. It is like the polar opposite, at times, of what Christianity could look like at its very best. Now, I'd love to say, like, we've baptized 6 players and they're all doing alpha, and it hasn't been as quick as I'd like it to be. But you know what I love? I get to go in and my role here at church actually gets to play a part in the conversations that I have with these guys. Because they're like, what do you actually do? And I'm like, oh, I'm here, I'm a chaplain, I'm here to help. No, they're like, what's your actual job? I'm like, oh, I'm a pastor. And they're like, oh, it's the same thing. So you're like, you do that and you do this. And they're having conversations about God and life and being able to serve them and just go on the journey. It's amazing how much that has opened up my world. Now, take the time to tell you this story because I think there'll be people out there that you have interests and passions that God has given you. And places that you put your feet, and you know you have them in a pocket of going, this just lives here. There's no real purpose to it. Doesn't really fit what God's calling me to do. And I want to challenge you to say, maybe it does. Because I don't think God just works on Sundays. And I know he doesn't just work at home. He actually wants to be at work everywhere. And some of the places that you'll go and the things that you'll do and the people you'll spend time with need an awakening to who Jesus is. And maybe that stick that you need to throw on the ground is that interest that you have that you've kept separate from God. It's that sporting club that you might go to. It's that workplace that you have. It's that community thing that you're a part of. I don't know what it is for you that you're a part of. But the places that you've put your feet that you keep separate from who Christ is. I believe for some of us today, he might be calling you to put it down. But then to pick it back up with some purpose and some empowerment of the Holy Spirit. To see what he might do through you in your world. That we don't get to just be the light of Christ in here, as great as that is. We get to go out. We spend more time out than we spend in. But to go out and go, God, what have you given me? What's in my hand? How am I wired? What am I interested in? And how can I bring you into the midst of that? And it would be amazing if you pray those prayers, what God can do. Because you know what? It wasn't Moses that turned the stick into a snake. It wasn't Moses that did all the miracles holding, you know, the miracle worker, the power is actually through God. But he wants to work with us. And so there will be things in your world that you will look at and go, it's just a stick. It's just a plain old stick. Not much to it. Ah, it's just where I work. Ah, that's just what I do for fun. Oh, these are just the people that I hang out with. Just a bit of social connection. I challenge you to put it down. Say, God, what could you do with this? But then have the courage to pick it back up and see what he might do through you. And so the team are going to come up and they're going to lead us a bit more time of worship. They're going to bless us with some songs. We're going to get to kind of sing and we're going to come around the table together. And I love coming around the table because ultimately the table represents Christ laying his own life down. He modeled it for us perfectly, didn't he? I'll come down to earth and I'll lay down my life. Why? So you can have hope, future, salvation, purpose. And in laying his life down for God, it conquers sin and death and brings hope and life. It's the great demonstration. Christ always demonstrates what he wants us to do. And so I want to challenge you, maybe for you, as you come to the table, recognizing that Christ has laid down his life for you, maybe there's some things that you need to lay down to him. Maybe there are some gifts, some things that you have, or maybe you haven't given him the recognition going, God, you've given me, you've blessed me with this. You've made me the way you have made me. And so I'll lay myself down, my interests down, my things down. I'll lay them down to you and allow you to empower them. And then I'm going to pick it back up so that when I go out, I can use it. And that plain old thing that you just saw as just a piece of wooden stick might be something that God uses to awaken people to himself. And one of the things that's going back to that story that I find is, you know, probably like I said, haven't baptized many football players lately. Not many of them are necessarily in church, but I am so much more awake to the purposes that God has in my life than ever before. To what he wants to do in my life, because I'm going out on mission, going, God, what am I doing in this space? How can I be light here? It hasn't just become something I'm interested in anymore. It's something that I believe that God has grabbed and is going to use to see people come to Jesus. But not just in that space, anywhere I walk now, I'm like, is there an opportunity here? Is there a conversation I can have? It's awakened something in me. And not because I got any smarter, but because I just prayed a prayer. And said, God, whatever I got, here it is. And I'll just pick it back up and hopefully it does that. So my prayer for you would be that as we do this today together, as we take communion together, as we sing songs about the greatness and the goodness of God, prayers and stories about how he brings salvation and hope and like that, these songs speak so much to the power of God. That we wouldn't just stay here together and feel nice about those songs and sing them, but they would awaken us to what God wants to do in our lives. So that when you leave here today, so when we stop being gathered and have the blessing of being gathered together and we go and be scattered, my prayer would be that this week, an auditorium full of people would go and scatter and be the light of Jesus with great purpose in their world. Because we all want that, right? Like, I don't know anyone that wakes up and goes, you know what, I don't want to have any impact on the world today. I don't want Jesus to do anything. We don't think that. But sometimes my actions don't reflect that because I don't lay it down. Or I don't pick it back up. You just lay it down and go, well, that's near. No, I see what you're saying there, God, but that's scary. So see ya. You've got to pick it back up. It's not easy. It takes courage. Encourage you to be courageous this week. I love the line in that song we were just singing before, that hell lost another one, I am free. I feel like heaven wants to sing that every day. That every day, hell would lose another one. But we can't just do that all in this room together on a Sunday. We've got to go out and do it scattered, knowing that we're all in it together, but sometimes we're by ourselves. So I encourage you this morning, why don't we stand? I'd love to pray. After I pray, in your own time, come and take communion. Maybe honestly, as an act of laying something down, maybe you want to come and you want to kneel and you want to surrender something in your life to God. Maybe you want someone to pray with you. Just pray for me. Pray that God would be active and alive. There'll be prayer teams on the side, our staff around as well. We'd love to pray for you, that the Holy Spirit would awaken the gifts that he has given you to make a difference for his eternal kingdom. And so if there's something you want to lay down before God and allow him to empower, I encourage you to do that. But it's a dangerous prayer, so I'd encourage you to have the courage to pick it back up and most of all to go out and to use it, so that other people could have the same awakening opportunity that we've had. to know that He is for us, that He laid down His life for us, that He has a plan for us. Let me pray. Lord, I thank You that we don't have to just go about this life wondering how we got here and what we're doing, but Lord, You intend great purpose for us, and that You've created each person in this building, each person online, with unique gifts and interests and passions, Lord. And it's not an accident that they have those, but God, You have wired them that way. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that we would lay down those things before You, recognizing that they're not for us, but they're for You. And Holy Spirit, that You would breathe on those things, empower them, use them to show Your might and power and purposes in this world. And Lord, I pray You would give us the courage to pick it up again and to walk out and to use it. Lord, I thank You for each person represented in here and the plans that You have for each one of them. Lord, may we be known as a people that are leading people to You and the purposes that You have for them. Lord, this week may hell lose many more because of the freedom that You bring. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.